Okay, well, hi there. Here we are. This is session number 8 in volume 7. It Would Love You. Might sound like a strange title to you, but It Would Love You in the scripture is John 15, verses 18 through 27. And I'm going to read this for you, starting with verse 18. I'm reading from the NIV. I read that because that's easier for some people to understand, and many times I'll tie in other translations as well, so don't let that bother you. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." That ends the reading of the Word. God is love. I started that way in the last session. God is love is a familiar, very familiar scripture to most believers in Jesus. And I've pointed this out many times. This statement has caused some people to determine, therefore, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, then my life will be full of peace, love, and joy. Well, yes and no. You see, when you are in this life, not all people will be completely open and loving toward you. This is what Jesus was telling the disciples here in John 15, 18 through 27. He was saying, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. But you see, God loves you. There is one thing we can know for certain. God loves us, and He even loves those who are still in the world system. All you have to do is look at John 3, 16 and 17. It says that God so loved the world. So why did Jesus warn us through the disciples the world would hate them and us? When Jesus was with them in this life or world, the focus was on Him. See, they were all looking at Him. He was the one doing the miracles for the most part. Now, you'll remember there was a time when Jesus sent some people out, and they came back and talked about, well, even the demons obeyed them and this sort of thing. And He says, don't rejoice at that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Always keep that perspective. Always keep the perspective. Yes, you can rejoice and you can praise God for the great things that He may do through you or that you may see done through others. But you rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when Jesus was here walking the earth as we're walking it, the focus was on Him. He was the one that was going to catch all the flack, so to speak. He drew fire from those in favor of the world system. They were the ones saying, you're not doing this right. Are you a revolutionary? Are you opposing the king? Did you say that Moses was wrong? They came up with everything they could and they threw it at him. So don't be surprised when they throw things at you too. Jesus told you they would. Jesus' teachings threatened the world system dominated by satanic forces. They threaten the world's system. When you speak about Jesus, you're threatening the world system. Why do you think that in our country now, people want to make sure that there's no mention of God? They don't want freedom of religion or freedom of worship. They want freedom from it because it's contrary to the world's system. Jesus' teachings threaten the world's system dominated by satanic forces. There are satanic forces all around us. There are people who are motivated by satanic forces and don't know it. And as a matter of fact, if you tell them, you will see other demonic activity rise up against you for pointing it out. That's why we do intercessory prayer. Because the people don't understand. Many of the people are in ignorance. They do not understand. You must do intercessory prayer to help these people. When we believers follow the Great Commission, we become a threat to the world system. Do you know that? When you just testify about what Jesus has done in your life, you're going to get some flack back from the world system quite often. Now, there will be other people, as we talked about in the last session, that they are ripe fruit, and you can ask God to show them to you, to put you with them, and you can harvest them. But there are many, particularly if they're not ripe fruit ready for harvest yet, that they will just see what you're doing as a threat or foolishness. The Scripture says that the world really just sees what we're talking about as foolishness. So, because of this threat to the world system, that's why Jesus told the disciples, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. That's where I got the title for this message. It would love you. It would love you as its own. As it is, Jesus said, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So don't be surprised sometimes if people rise up against you or demonic activity comes, but you've got the ability to take care of that. You see, there's the name of Jesus. Now, the name of Jesus is very powerful. Using the name of Jesus, believers have the power and authority to heal the sick, cast out demons, and perform other signs and wonders. Jesus spoke of this. Jesus said, and these signs will accompany those who believe. What's he saying? These signs will accompany you. If you're a believer, these signs will accompany you. Now listen to what they are. In my name, he said, they will drive out demons. That's a sign that you're a believer, that you drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. That's recorded in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. That's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say they might this. He said these are the things, these are the signs that will accompany the believer. These signs are supposed to accompany you and I as believers. Well, where do I belong? The major question is, we must ask ourselves or myself, where do I belong in the satanic world system or in the kingdom of heaven? Christ's realm. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. It is Christ's realm. He is the King of Kings. Where do I belong? That's what we must ask ourselves. If you've accepted Christ, you have decided that you belong in His kingdom. that you belong in His care, His protection. But notice all of that is sort of passive. Well, I belong in His care. Jesus is protecting me. What's He protecting you from? If the world's not hating you, you must not be delivering Jesus' message. Now, you don't have to be offensive. You can go on the offensive without being offensive. You can do that. But I'm telling you, if people aren't upset because you're a Christian, because of some of the things that you do in delivering the gospel to people, oh my, it must mean you're not. Now, let me tell you. When you think in terms only of, well, Jesus can do this for me, or I need Jesus to do this for me, or, oh my, I need Jesus for this or that. You know, it's amazing to me how much time is spent on one side of the covenant. In other words, you know how many people can point out to everybody else what's wrong with them, but never see what's wrong with themselves? Don't you find it interesting that people can point out what Jesus is supposed to do for them, but never recall what they're supposed to be doing for Jesus? What Jesus expects. A covenant is a two-sided relationship. A covenant has responsibilities on both sides of a relationship. You see, and the decision that's most important is the decision that is an eternal decision. This is a decision to accept or reject Christ. And once you've accepted it, once that's a part of your life, if you've accepted it, walk in it. Walk in it. Oh, my friends, to accept salvation as just an event, to accept the covenant as just an event, and then not to carry out our side of the covenant, is very hypocritical. Because you see, the gospel is not just for me and it's not just for you alone. The decision to live in Christ's kingdom is not a decision of philosophy, but a decision of great environmental importance. Oh, environmental. Now, we could go into all sorts of things today about environment. But we find a lot of people in the kingdom, people who claim Christ, to be complaining about the environment around them. It's just not good enough. People just don't love enough. People just don't care enough. Well, that may be because believers don't witness enough, don't share the gospel enough. That's what changes the environment. You want to preserve an environment in a nation such as America? The way you preserve that environment is you don't toss out the gospel in order to just get along, to go along to get along. Well, I don't want to raise anything. I don't want to offend anybody. Well, who would you rather offend? Would you rather offend Christ by not maintaining your part of the covenant? Or would you rather offend the people of the world? And again, I'm not talking about going out there and being haughty and offensive. I'm just saying when you share the good news, there are going to be people offended. But there are also going to be people brought into the kingdom. It's not your job to bring people in. It's your job. It's your part of the covenant. It's your function to get the gospel out. What is the gospel? It is the good news. It is what's found in the scripture. But it's as that has applied to your life, so it's your testimony. So people can look and see the reality of what it is. It's not an academic debate, because you have the experience with Christ. You know what Christ has done for you. Let others know too. Now, Christ does protect those in His kingdom. Christ provides for those in His kingdom, and Christ blesses those in His kingdom. Now, let me tell you, if you change those words in our society to God protects those in His kingdom, God provides for those in His kingdom, and God blesses those in His kingdom, you wouldn't get an objection. A Muslim could say, well, that's right. A Buddhist could say, well, that's right. A Hindu could say, well, that's right. But it's when you define who God is that you get the fight. That's when the world hates you. If you put in there, Christ protects those in his kingdom, Christ provides for those in his kingdom, and Christ blesses those in his kingdom, you may get an amen, or you may get, oh, well, now, wait a minute, you're not being inclusive. You're leaving out other gods. Of course we are. There are no other gods, except man-made ones. The only God is Jehovah God, who sent his Son, Jesus the Christ. That's it. That's what it boils down to. Oh, they may be good, fine, moral people, but they're still lost without Christ. They're the people that we must intercede for. They're the people that we must witness to. Again, not offensively, but on the offensive. It is so important. The world will do what appears to be the same, but without the eternal benefits. The world will be moral. The world, people in the world may not steal. They may smile at you. They may treat you fine, but they're just as lost on that day coming as the person who's out there raping, pillaging, stealing, murdering, whatever. They're just as lost without Christ. We must understand that it is Christ that makes the difference. So what appears to be the same is not, because there are eternal benefits and eternal consequences. Eternal benefits without peace, these are the consequences, without peace, without blessing. It will sap the life. The world system will sap the life out of its subjects. And if you don't believe that, you talk to people who are not in and functioning in the covenant with Jesus Christ. You find no joy. I don't care if they're rich or poor. I don't care if they're wealthy or poor. Now you say, well, wait a minute. What's the difference between rich and wealthy? Rich people have a lot of money but still have to work every day to get it. Wealthy people never have to work a day in their life. That's the difference. Poor people, I think we probably all understand. I'm talking about economically now. Oh my, the world system will absolutely sap the life out of you. If you're feeling the life getting sapped out of you by just trying to function in this world, step back into the kingdom system. Christ's kingdom is not for me alone. It's not for you alone, but also for those who will come into God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, because of me or you. When you do not witness, when you do not tell people the gospel, what you're saying is, I got mine, I don't care about you. My first statement here was, God is love. So if God is love, you've got to function in love, and if you say, I got mine, I don't care about you, you're not functioning in love. If that's the case, you're rebellious. You're haughty. You are so tied into yourself. You actually hate other people. The only person you love is yourself. And the only reason you love God is what you can get from him. How would you feel if you were relating to somebody, telling them how much you love them, and all they ever did was sap you, sap you, sap you? Take everything they could from you, but never deposit back into you. What would you think? Would you think they loved you, or would you just think they were a user? The world will use you and dry you up. The world says, it is yours, don't share. Get all you can. Share only what you must to get more. That's what the world says. You might have to share something. You might actually have to employ some people, but it's not for their benefit. I mean, once you've got yours, you'd close the company down. You'd walk away. You wouldn't care anything about them. And that's happened in many places. There are some people who actually go around buying up companies so they can put all the people out on the street that work there and sell the assets because the assets are worth more than the product they're making. And they make a living like that, destroying people's lives. They don't care how hard those people work. They don't even care how much those people may have loved their employment and tried to better it, because all they want is theirs and they don't care who they walk over to get it. That's the world system. In God's system, there is no lack. What does that mean? That means do not tell me that you are holy because you are poor financially. That flies right in the face of the Word of God. That says that your God is so puny, He cannot meet your needs. I don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. If you can prove to me that the Scripture says that it is holy to be poor, when the Scripture says it is more blessed to give than receive, and the reason it's more blessed to give than receive is because you can get a 10, 30, and 100-fold back for the giving. But we've been fed this thing, oh, don't do that. Why? Because that's the world system. Now, we don't give to get. We give because we love. We care. But that's a result of it. If you step into a warm shower to clean yourself off, what you're going to get is the warmth as a part of it. It's just part of the package. But the world says it's yours. Don't share. Get all you can. Share only what you must to get more. The world is lonely. Have you noticed that? How lonely the world is? Because it will use you up and spit you out. Because the world has the attitude of, what did you do for me today? If you don't believe that, go to some places. Now, I'm not against commission selling. I happen to think it's one of the best things anybody can do. But many people who sell by commission, they walk in and their boss goes, I don't care what you did yesterday. What have you done for me today? You could have had the greatest day in the world yesterday. And today, you're at zero again when you start, as far as they're concerned. That's a sad thing. But the world is a lonely place. But you know what? Christ is always there. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The world says, if you ain't got it for me, fooey on you. Who needs you? You're nothing. And then there's my counselor. Christ's kingdom never leaves a person abandoned or alone. It's not like the world. It's very different. That's why they have to hear this from us. They have to hear every time God blesses you, you ought to be wearing people out with testifying about it. Every time He does something for you, every time that you can show, this is what Jesus Christ has done in my life. This is what the living God, the resurrected Christ. Oh, that, see, that's what got the disciples all in trouble, because they said, well, yeah, Jesus is different. He raised from the dead. Oh, well, that got them in trouble. Well, you can go talk all the philosophy about Jesus you want to, but you cannot preach, they told him. Stop preaching about the resurrection. You see? Now, if they didn't want the resurrection preached, can you imagine how surprised they're going to be when He splits the eastern sky and a bunch of people disappear? Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to go out. Tomorrow, I want you to go out. And if you're going to be out today, do it today. And I want you to look at the people you pass and say, I choose for that person to go to hell. I don't care about them. And I choose for that person to go to hell because I don't care about them. And I choose for that person to go to hell because I don't care about them. Because when you're passing people who are in your life and you're not telling them about Jesus, if you're not showing the love of God through your life, if you're not testifying about it, what you're saying is, I don't care if that person goes to hell or not. I got mine. When He splits the eastern sky, whoopee, I'm going to be there. And I don't care whether they're there or not. They can just all go to hell. Now think about it. I know this is a little tougher than you usually hear me talk. But something's got to happen. We have got to change the world. We have got to take back the planet that Satan stole. And Jesus came back and He took it back for us. All we got to do is occupy it until He comes. And I find so many people hovering back in their own little emotional corners, their own little physical corners, their own little social structure corners, just waiting for Him to come so they can escape this world. We weren't left here to escape. We were left here to do something for Christ. He said He would never leave us or forsake us. That's not what the world says. The world says, you don't have anything for me, bye-bye. He is always there. You see, Jesus Christ keeps every promise. All of God's promises are yes and amen. He is always there, anointing, gifting, always empowering. Why? For His glory. Not for our glory, for His glory. We need to learn to give Him glory each and every day. You know, I find it amazing. The people who don't claim Christ are thought of as really holy, wonderful people because they pray five times a day. Now think about it. Think about it. There are people in this world who will worship a non-God so religiously many times a day. And that God says, "You die for me." Our God says, "I died for you." My counselor says, this is what Jesus said. He would send a counselor. I am to testify of Him not only in being good. In other words, I'm good to people. I am just so good. I'm just little goody two-shoes. That's not it. We are to testify of Him in power, as the sick are healed, as people who are demonized are delivered, and as people who are lost are saved. That's how we testify of Him. You make a difference when you walk in a room. You make a difference when you walk in where you're employed. You make a difference as you walk through a store. You make a difference as you walk down the street. You be different, and you make a difference. Because He said that the sick were to be healed, people were to be delivered, and salvation were to come from us through the gospel message. It's by my faithfulness and your faithfulness in delivering a compelling gospel message in word and in deed. And what did He say? He said He would confirm His word. He says, "These signs shall accompany those." So the signs of power are to accompany the believer. It's not a philosophy. The minute that you allow the signs to accompany you, it's no longer a philosophical debate. It's no longer an academic debate. It's like the man said when they said, "How did this happen? What happened to you?" And he says, "I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, now I see." How are you going to argue with that? How are you going to argue with that? Our job is not to offend, but to be on the offensive. Take back the territory. Take back what was stolen from us by Satan. Take back what Jesus has given us the keys to do. Because He will never leave us or forsake us. We should never leave Him or forsake Him either. We must stick close to Him because He said that He would stick closer to us than a brother. The world says, who cares? What'd you do for me today? Let me ask you a question. If Jesus asked you, "What did you do for me today?" What would your response be? What did you do for Him today? Whose life was changed because they encountered you today? What signs followed you, accompanied you as you went today? Accompanied means you must be going someplace. It accompanies you. You are empowered. You are gifted. You are anointed. And that accompanies you everywhere you go. And what does it do? It confirms the message that Jesus is Lord. It confirms the message that Jesus is indeed the risen Christ. The risen Christ. I will tell you, it would love you, the world, if you just did it its way. But that has eternal consequences I don't want to see anybody ever have to deal with. So my message is this. Allow the accompanying. aggressively go on the offensive. Be gentle, be kind, be accurate, and allow yourself to be empowered as you share the gospel with people. That's my message. That's what I want you to hear. That's what the Lord wants you to hear. This is what He's talked to me about and talked to me about and talked to me about. The time is so short, my friends. We must carry out our part of the covenant because He is carrying out His. And He will continue to because He is not a man that He should lie. And He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. So that's my message for this session. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You and we worship You that You have brought Your Word to us through the generations, generation after generation, hundreds, even thousands of years to us so that we would not be lost, but we would know. And knowing, we could share. And sharing, we could all grow and Your kingdom would grow. And we would rob that liar Satan. And we would grow Your kingdom. We thank You that You thought so much of us, that You called us to You through Christ to eternal life and to bring others to eternal life by our words to them and You, Heavenly Father, drawing them to Jesus the Christ. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask that You send harvesters to work in the fields and that You make each of us harvesters and You show us the ripe fruit, Heavenly Father. You put us with the right people who are ripe for harvest. Show us, tell us, and allow us to get the message. And You harvest them and bring them into the kingdom. Draw them to Your Son. Heavenly Father, we apologize. We apologize where we've not been as sensitive as we needed to be. We know that You are quick to forgive, and we thank You for that. Now, Heavenly Father, go with us. Go with us. As You promised, we know You will. Let us take that gospel for You. Let us bring others in so that they will not perish, but have eternal life with Jesus Christ. With You in Your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And I say to those who are in my hearing, the blessings of our Lord Jesus the Christ on you and all that is yours by blood, by adoption, or by assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray all this. Amen.
Amen.